The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Fourth and final hour on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's had a great day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. The gang is all here on this rainy Wednesday, and so is Chris Mason. He joins us every Wednesday at this time. He's driven by Freeland Chevrolet. No, I'm serious. They just drive him around town. That's how he's driven.
I think
it's
he's
pretty
just,
cool.
I think he's driven, too.
It's good to be. Guy. He is a driven guy. It's good to be C-Mace. He is a driver, and he's driven. Chris, what's up?
What's up, guys? Just driving around. You're right. I just got home, though. But I was driving myself this time. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Look, yeah. You can do it all.
Yeah.
I thought of you, and I brought this up with Barry Trotz. We had Barry Trotz on a couple of, in the second hour of the show. And a really unfortunate incident that happened last night in Anaheim, Ducks and Blues. Jay Bouwmeester collapsed on the bench. And you were on that 05 team. And the 05 team, I think that was the right year, right? 05-06?
05-06.
The game against Detroit, Uri Fisher. Yeah. Same thing happened. They canceled the game. What is that like when something, you know, unfortunate and something – out of the blue like that happens during the course of a game?
It is, honestly, it was shocking to begin with because, you know, you're out there competing and you're, battling on the ice and trying to do anything for your team. But when something like that happens to another guy on the other team, whether you know him or not, it definitely is a very shocking moment. And that's, you know, kind of a time, I think, when everyone, you know, comes together and you realize that, hey, you know what, we're just playing a game here, and the most important thing is, you know, that person's health. And I remember when they sent us back to the dressing room, they're seeing, you know, they're attending to Uri Fisher and seeing what was happening there and deciding what they were going to do with the game. And we had a few guys, Czech guys on our team, Thomas Fokun, Marty Erat, and Marek Zdzidlicki, that was completely shaken. There's no way they could have planned. Nobody knew what was going on, other than just, you know, minor updates that his heart had stopped and they had to use the defibrillator, and they didn't know, you know, how he was doing. And we finally got the update, but they ended up canceling the game. I don't feel like those guys and the rest of us that didn't know Uri Fisher just from playing against him and through these guys were shaken up too. And I can't imagine, you know, for the guys on their team that, you know, were sitting right there when it happened. You just never expect something like that to happen, especially, you know, I don't know, but you just think, you know, he's a professional athlete, they're invincible and all these types of things. And it really, you know, brings you, you know, down to what's important in life. And it's scary. It was scary. Everybody was, you know, on pins and needles, obviously just waiting for that good news to come out of the situation. And so it was tough. And, you know, Rich Peverly, another guy that happened to, was a former Nashville Predator. So it's really scary. And to hear that, you know, to have heard last night that he was on his way and he was responsive was just, you know, you could just take a breath and relax a little bit, because it was going to, you know, it was the best outcome, I think, in that current situation. And you could see the panic on the guy's face, on that, his teammate's face. It just makes you sick.
It's been a long time since I've seen that video. While you were talking about that, Chase pulled the video up and showed it to me, and man, that is some scary stuff. Mike Babcock and team officials, I mean, screaming for medical. you know, doing CPR there on the bench. That is, oof. It's been a while since I've seen that. That sent chills. That's still weird.
Horrifying.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's
awful. You played for Barry Trotz, and I talked to him about he's been a head coach for a long time, and he's dealt with star players and the delicate balance of knowing how to handle it as a head coach. And you've seen it firsthand playing for Barry Trotz. You've seen it, how it's handled by coaches in your playing career. You've been playing hockey for a long time. Now you're on the other side. John Hines is trying to send a message to some of his star players. And that fine line of how you handle when you're trying to motivate them and get them going. And I brought it up with Barry, and he did it with Barzell just recently. And so obviously I struck a chord with Barry because he went on a pretty long answer about it. You being on this side and being in the room, so you've seen it from both perspectives, what is your take on how you handle trying to get a professional athlete, you know, playing the way you want them to play?
Well, first of all, I actually, you know, I've been on a lot of teams where coaches, and I'm sure a lot of guys will tell you the same thing, have been on teams where coaches will say, well, who's ever playing the hardest is going to play, and you're going to earn your ice time and all those types of things. And it never really happens. You know, at the end of the day, it's you might sit one of your star players down for a shift and then, you know, or a couple shifts, and that's the extent of it. So I really commend John Hines, especially coming into a new team, a tough situation. But at the end of the day, he knows what he's got to do. They've got to win hockey games. They don't have time to wait this out and have this keep going. So it sends a message to not only those top guys, but it sends a message to everybody in that lineup, no matter who you are, because those are the hardest guys to sit, or your best players, because you know how hard it is for a coach to have your most talented players sitting on the bench when you're trying to win a hockey game. It's not something you want to do as a coach. It's not something your team wants to happen. But if, you know, in this situation where he's feeling he's not getting, you know, the inspired effort and the commitment that he's looking for in that particular game, I think it's a powerful thing. Moving forward, I don't think, you know, I don't foresee them sitting next game. I think, you know, if I'm in that situation, your message is sent. But if the Nashville Predators are going to get back into the playoffs, they need those guys. Those are the guys that you want the puck on their stick with a minute left, with 2 minutes left in the hockey game, in those offensive situations. Those are the guys that can put the puck in the net. Philip Forsberg, you know, leading the team, Ryan Johansson, and the guys maybe aren't where they're supposed to be statistically. But I just, you hope as a coach that by doing that, you can really, you know, stick it to them where it hurts. Because at the end of the day, as a coach, that's the one thing that you can control is their ice time. You can't control what they do once they go on the ice. That's up to the players. But if that's something that they value and you take that away from them, that should be, you know, a message sent. And whether it's received, you know, that's yet to be determined. But having said that, this is done so that he can ride these guys. These players are star players, and every star player plays at their best hockey when they're playing 18, 19, 20, 21 minutes a game. They need that ice time. You know, they're not used to playing the 10, 12 minutes and being successful. A lot of guys, you have to train yourself to do that, and it's a different mindset. But these guys have to be on the ice. They've got to get in the game. They've got to feel the game, get the flow, that type of thing. So this is a thing that is, you know, hopefully sends a message to these guys that if you're not going to, you know, put the effort forward and come out with the right attitude, then I'm going to take away what, you know, you value most. And I don't think it's something that's going to be able to happen, you know, for the rest of the season, because, like I said, those are the guys that have to get the job done. You need them to be your top two lines. And it's great that Nick Bonino, Craig Smith, Rocco Grimaldi, that line is going, and that you can rely on the fourth line, and they're playing really good, responsible hockey. But at the end of the day, you need your big dogs to be your big dogs. So I hope we see a different fire from those guys, and that the message hits home.
Mace, a very compressed schedule, we should say. A time to regroup. Yesterday, the travel day, a long flight. Today, a chance to practice. And then tomorrow, 27 over the last 52, 27 games, 52 days, seven back-to-backs in there. So this is going to be a whirlwind. We're seeing now around the league, and I'll ask you about this in a minute, but some of these, you know, very, very important players that have been put on the shelf for a while here. But this is the time for the Predators. We've been saying it for a while. There were some signs that the overall team game was starting to come around until Monday. That's what made Monday so mystifying.
Yeah, and, you know, it's been that season. It's been every time you think they're going to turn the corner and they're starting to put it together, you take a step back. And, like, for example, in the first period in the Vancouver game, I thought the first three games of the road trip I thought were excellent. I thought the Edmonton game, they lost. I still thought they played well enough to win. They're doing the right things. The effort, everything was there. You're not going to win every game. That's just sports. You get a couple unlucky calls and a couple bad bounces. You know, you lose a hockey game, and that's kind of what happened. And I feel in that Edmonton game. But, you know, you come out in the first period, given the circumstances, you could have turned that into a great road trip, winning 3 of 4, and didn't seem like the guys were ready to go in the first period, and it was basically lost, I thought, in that first period. They pushed back in the second. Markstrom was awesome, but, you know, you're leaving it up to chance when you playing from behind and you put yourself behind the eight ball like that. But I still, as tough as this season has been, I really still feel that this team, every team, whether they're, you know, one of the worst hockey teams in the league, they have a stretch of hockey where they get things going and they're winning, you know, 6 of 8, 7 of 8, whatever the case may be. They get their game going, and this team is just, they're just too good. And you look at the teams that are ahead of them and are chasing them and are behind them in that big pocket of teams. To me, the Nashville Predators have the best team in that group. You know, whether it materializes into a playoff spot and they get it going, I mean, I don't know. That's yet to be determined. But I still hold out a lot of hope that this team can turn it around. And we've all seen how important timing is going into the playoffs, and playing your best hockey at the right time is just absolutely crucial. You know, you look at Tampa Bay Lightning, you look at Predators the year before. You know, the last month of the season, they didn't really have much to play for in terms of, you know, games that mattered, and they're resting guys, and you're not playing that playoff-type hockey where teams, like last year, Columbus, they're fighting for their lives, and you know, there's a bunch of other teams. Dallas was fighting for their life, and whoever you want to say it, and they come in with that playoff mindset, and they're playing that game, and they're doing the right things, and, you know, you're able to have success. St. Louis, again, they went on that miraculous run. You know, that's not going to happen very often, but they were still playing that type of hockey, you know, for the last part of the season. So I still hold out hope that I just feel that this team is just too good to not make the playoffs and to not have one of those runs. I think getting Ryan Ellis back, whenever he may come back, he's skating and he seems like he's ramping up his the work level and the practice time and all that, those types of things. So that's very promising. But I feel that this team, the best is yet to come. Maybe that's just the optimist in me, but that's what I believe.
Under the category of every team has issues, you now have Edmonton. They're going to deal. They've announced that Connor McDavid is going to be out to two to three weeks. We just got a pretty good close look at them a couple of times here recently, Mace. What do you think that means for them?
Well, you know, that's not a guy you can replace. You know, that's not you know, all right, next man up. We're replacing Connor McDavid, so someone else is getting an opportunity. That's, you know, one of the best players in the world that, as a forward, plays 24 minutes a game. 22, 24 minutes a game. He's got 80 some odd points. You know, you're getting over, well over a point a game production. That is obviously, you know, a huge, huge, huge loss, because instead of having that, you know, 1-2 punch up top with the two superstars on different lines, that completely changes the dynamic of your team. And I don't feel like Edmonton, I feel they're taking strides as a team and an organization, but when I look at them, I don't feel like that's a team that will be able to sustain that injury. Again, I could be wrong, but when you lose a player that plays that many minutes and has that big of an impact on every single game, that is going to be tough to replace. And I think especially with the way the games are played and the tight hockey games, that one-goal hockey game, that guy's he's the game-breaker. He's a difference-maker in, you know, 90% of their hockey games, along with Draisaitl. But when you take one of those guys away, it becomes difficult.
Chris Mason is with us, and UC Saros starts three games in a row. We see the other night Pecorino gets in there, ultimately gets pulled. With the season that he's had, the team that the season the team has had, ups and downs, what do you think is going through the mind of Pecorino right now?
Well, I mean, I felt so bad for him, and it's just got to be so frustrating for him and for everyone on that team. But for him to finally get back in here, especially when he played so well against Vegas, and I felt both, since John Hines has been here, that both guys are starting to get their game in order. And obviously, Juice played very well in his three games that he played. And for Pekka to come out, and then for the team to have that first period, and you could see when he got pulled, John Hines, made mention to him, and I'm sure he was saying, "Hey, it's not you. I had to change something up. I'm sorry that you got hung out to dry." But as a goaltender, you're looking for answers, you're looking for help and support. You want to, as a team, get out of this thing together, and then for that effort in the first period and that situation to happen, it just couple, crappy, unlucky goals that you just really, I don't know what he could have done on any of those situations. There's literally nothing you can do as a goaltender. It's not like, you're letting in bad goals and you feel like, wow, if I could have got that one, if I had done this or this. It was just, an escalation, or I guess a continuation of kind of what this season has been like for him at points of it, and for the team. And it's tough because how competitive he is, how good of a goaltender, how good of a person, and he wants to come in there and win a hockey game, but you got to give the guy a chance to be able to steal one for you. And some of the stuff that happened there in the first period, he didn't really have much of a chance at all.
It was nice of you to give the driver the day off. Goodbye, you. Thanks for joining us as always, and we'll see you over at the arena tomorrow.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
Chris Mason, Willie's partner in the television booth, former Predator, and every week he joins us on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock, and he's driven by Freeland Chevrolet. I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD for years now, and they have started, and they know a lot of you have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician over there, and his wife Daphne Lodge, who is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to give you men out there the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And I hope you want that like I do, especially as we all get older. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone. Dial this number, make an appointment like I have, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291, or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. A lot of you took part in our little bus trip to St. Louis. Preds and Blues. This year's bus trip will be to Columbus to see the Blue Jackets and the Preds. That'll be at Nationwide Arena. That's the home of Columbus, or the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's going to be Saturday, March 14th. Tickets go on sale Monday, February 17th. That's this upcoming Monday at 10 a.m. The trip is going to be organized by Simply A Fan. Visit simplyafan.com for other upcoming sports adventures. The transportation will be provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com. A lot of you had a good time last year, and I hope a lot of you jump in there and take part in this trip to Columbus in mid-March.
For those about to bus, we salute you.
Yeah, and let's hope that you don't hear those freaking cannons.
Just once.
Actually,
just one
it's
time.
Not cannons. It's just a cannon.
And it's loud.
Thank goodness there's not multiple.
They've had a heck of a year. You think about this time last year. Remember, they loaded up.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Duchene. They kept Bobrovsky. They kept Panarin.
Stone. Didn't they get Stone? No.
Vegas.
Stone went to Vegas.
No, Vegas, yeah.
Who am I met? Somebody else.
They traded for Matt Duchene.
Yeah, okay. Duchene.
Well, they traded for everybody.
There was more people than
it's
that.
It's like 17 people.
Yeah, but they have another injury that they announced today.
Yeah.
So, Cam Atkinson.
Yeah, I know. He got hurt,
two to three weeks.
Yeah, they're getting devastated with injuries. Well, they had Panarin, they had Bobrovsky. They knew they were going to lose them, but they kept them. They didn't trade them.
But think about what they've done with losing those guys, right? They've still been a really, really solid team. Now they're going to have to deal with this. This is a tough blow here. Nashville plays Columbus twice between now and the end of the season. That's what is such a wild card when you're trying to project, you know, who's going to get in, right? You don't know what's around the corner. Columbus was probably feeling pretty good until they lose Seth Jones 8 to 10 weeks, and then they have this with Atkinson, who's a critical player for them. You know, this is life in the NHL. But we were looking at some numbers here. The Athletic puts out projected NHL standings. They've got a guy that uses his own number system, Don Lucigen, I think I'm saying his name right. He puts this out almost on a daily basis. Then there's sports club stats. There's different ways of projecting what a record is going to be. But this is what it boils down to for the Predators here. Because on a daily basis, you can look and say, what are they, Chase? 5 points out right now. But 5 points out doesn't tell you how many games they've played, who they're playing, what's the situation with these teams, all of this. But this is what it comes down to. Nashville simply has to finish.
You know who I was thinking of? It was Dzingel, not Stone.
Yeah. Well, they already had. Yeah, they traded for him
yeah.
too.
That's the other guy. That's why I said Stone.
Yeah, Ryan Dzingel.
It was Dzingel. Yeah. I knew there was somebody else.
I still don't think they have any draft picks for the next 7 years. After all, I'm just kidding. But they traded a lot of picks.
Well, I mean, look, yeah, if their goal was to go further than they've ever gone, then it worked.
They did. Yeah.
But it was the second round, and, you know, was that worth the price?
As a franchise, they'd never done that before. So I think that was a good step.
Yep.
And they have survived to this point and not taken a huge step back yet. But we'll see if they can maintain their spot right now. But for the Predators to make it now, they simply have to finish ahead of the Jets, the Wild, and the Blackhawks. To me, now is there a way in without doing that? Yeah. But realistically, they've got to finish ahead of those three teams. That would put them fourth place in the Central. That doesn't guarantee you have a wild card. In the Pacific, remember, you have this unbelievable five-team race that's going on right now between Vancouver, Vegas, Edmonton, Calgary, and Arizona. They're all separated by, I don't know what it is today. That gap can be as few as 3 points on a given day, but all five teams are in it. Nashville has got to finish ahead of two of those teams. And maybe only one. If they finish ahead of Winnipeg, Chicago, and Minnesota, then all they have to do is pass one of the teams in that five-team race. So that's doable. That could end up being 90 points, you know, or 91 points. Ideally, you take care of it yourself and you're not reliant upon anything else, right? If you get 94, 95 points, then you're going to be in there somewhere. But if you're in the scoreboard watching business, you've got to finish ahead of either Calgary, Arizona, Edmonton, Vegas, or Vancouver. Vancouver looks pretty good right now. I think they're the best of those teams. But That's really what it comes down to. So you got to watch those teams in the Pacific every night to see what happens. Does one of them get really hot? Does Vegas, for example, find a gear that they haven't found all year long? They're kind of in Nashville's category, right? What's going on? Why haven't they been able to get it going like we've been accustomed to seeing the last couple of years? Why hasn't Nashville? Are they going to continue on the same plane, or will they find and catch fire? Will somebody like Arizona, you know, fall off the cliff? I don't know. But they're all going to play each other a lot. That's a five-team race. There's a lot of scenarios.
Yeah.
Edmonton's got to deal with not having McDavid now for a few weeks.
Which helps some teams.
What will Ryan Ellis coming back whenever he does, what will that mean to the Predators? There's so many different ways this can go. So I'm just trying to tell everybody that it's easy to get down when you lose a game or two. But this is going to be, I think, a race that goes deep into March and April. It could go down to the last day.
Well, and it probably does.
Very well could.
But who would really think at this point it's not going to come down? I mean,
Well, there will be a jumbled mess. Somebody's going to separate. Somebody is going to catch fire.
I don't know if there's
separate.
Any proof of that. I don't know.
I don't know who it's going to be, but you're talking about
several teams here. Pacific hasn't had any separation in their top five the whole time. I mean, they've been a jumbled mess basically the entire season. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to change. The Central now, because we were talking about St. Louis has been in control. Well, they're not in control anymore. All of a sudden, you've got Colorado and throw Dallas in there, right there popping on the doorstep.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to change with those three.
I think the top three in the Central, somebody would really have to play differently to not finish. I think those top three will be
probably the top three top in some three. Particular order. Yep.
The Pacific is wide open.
Type of streak.
The Pacific's wide open. There's 3 points separates 1 through 5 there. And then you have that next tier of Nashville, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Chicago. Nashville has got to win that tier. They just simply have to do that.
Yeah. Here's the thing for me, and you have laid out some great scenarios, and you're right, it's a jumbled mess. The Predators have to be better than a 500 team. They have to take care of their own business. They can't do this win two, lose two. They have to get on a legitimate winning streak. And so far, it's been a long time since we've seen that out of this team. If they can do it, but they got to start, and they got a lot of home games, which usually you would say, all right, that's awesome. Well, we know the struggles they've had at Bridgestone Arena. They got to turn that around. They have to put something together more than just 2 or 3 games.
When was the last 3-game winning streak?
October.
Was it the first month of the season?
Oh, yeah. They have had 7 2-game winning streaks since that Halloween night.
It's not good enough.
That they have not won the third. But that's not a whole lot different than Calgary, Vegas, Arizona, Winnipeg. They're facing the same issues, those teams. So you have a lot of teams vying for those last couple of spots.
The difference is those teams have been in this whole time, and the Predators have been outside looking in since November. That's the difference. While they've all been trading spots, right, going from 1 to 3 to 2 to wild card, first wild card, second wild, they're all just switching around, but they've remained in the playoff picture.
That's true, but Nashville consistently has played 3, sometimes 4 less games than a lot of those teams.
Right.
Had they won at Edmonton, this is the woulda, coulda, you know, it didn't happen. Had they won against Edmonton, they would have ended the day above the line for the first time since November.
Mm-hmm. But the whole games in hand is about to go away.
27 games in 52 days.
A lot of games are about to happen.
They also have 13 games against the Central. So you still have you got 2 this weekend against St. Louis, right? That's a big 2 games. You've got 2 more with Colorado. You've got 3 with Minnesota. And you've got
I think that could be a good thing. I hope they keep selling. You know?
Minnesota?
Yeah.
Well, that's a sneaky. Is that a sell?
I don't know. I don't think
it's a sell, but could end up being.
I think it's a sell.
It's a gamble sell.
I think it's
It's a hedging your bet.
It's a sell. It's a tweak. It's whatever
like
you want to call
Alex
it.
Alex Galchenyuk has been one of these. He's been a little bit like a Kevin Fiala, right? It's the same. It's funny how new GM, same concept as the old GM. Jason Zucker was a guy they were going to lose, right? Yep. They weren't going to get anything for him, so they get a first rounder. And they get a guy in Alex Galchenyuk that has been an enigma, right? He looked like he was going to be a great player for a while. Hadn't happened. He's changed addresses a bunch of times. Maybe they find lightning in a bottle with him and they don't take a step back. They won last night.
Or maybe that's just what he is.
Maybe that's just what he is. Kevin Fiala's playing pretty well, by the way.
But he's been... This is the first time he's really caught. I mean, he's been in the doghouse. He's been it, you know, and now he's catching fire and playing
well.
He's
in the outhouse for a while. Wasn't even playing.
Yeah.
But Minnesota is 1-7 out of 10. They're hanging in there. They're hanging in the race for a team that's supposed to be rebuilding. They're sneaky good.
That's
not bad.
I never thought they'd be in this
point. But it looks like from everything I've read from Russo, it doesn't sound like Guerin's done.
No.
Like, they're going to be doing more stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they probably are.
I think Chicago is in the same boat. The reality is Chicago needs to look down the road a little bit. Winnipeg is in. They signed Paul Maurice to a contract extension today, but the truth is they are thin.
Does that surprise
if
either
Nashville
one of you?
If Nashville cannot finish ahead of those three teams, they're probably just not a playoff team.
Right.
Nashville is in a different spot than those three teams. Those three teams have issues. Some of it by injuries, some of it, you know, the Bufflin thing hit them in Winnipeg. You know, Nashville, they could get three guys hurt tomorrow and everything looks different. But if they can get Ellis back, they have everybody. They need to be better than those teams and be better than one of that five-team group in the Pacific.
I will say this, though, just like I said with Taylor Lewan. They're going to get him back, hopefully sooner rather than later. It doesn't fix everything right away.
No, because it's going to take him time to get to be the real Ryan
Ellis.
Remember
when I said Taylor Lewan is like week five? Like, don't think magically, offensive line, everything's back.
Everything's great.
Yeah. He's back and everything's normal and it's great. I said, it's going to take time. So don't, Ryan Ellis comes back, it's... Oh, everything's fine and everything's fixed. It's because
it's not
time.
Well, it's not just one player either. I know what Ryan Ellis brings to the room, but
he's huge.
He's huge. Yeah, he is.
Huge.
But it's not just one guy. I mean, I think it'll help. It'll make things a little bit better in time. But you know, Ryan Ellis is not going to walk into the locker room with smoke and music and go, "I'm here. Here we go. The beard is back."
Maybe he should.
I think he might. He actually might.
He should. That would be cool. I would like to see that
on
video.
Nothing that keeps you from doing that.
Brandon Walker is a big wrestling fan.
He would be all for that.
He could put that together.
There's no doubt Brandon would be all for that. All right, we're getting, by the way, it is a monsoon.
I know, and I bet to have to drive in that. That'll be fun.
We're going to have to canoe home here in a little bit. So let me speak about USS, United Structural Systems, foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. They've been at it for a while. And they've got more than 18,000 satisfied homeowners. Okay? And with all this water, maybe you've got standing water in your crawl space. Maybe you've got musty odors or rot in your floor joist or condensation on ductwork. You know, and you're asking, why are some of these things happening? Maybe you've got poor drainage. Maybe you've got surface water floods over walls. Underground pressure forces water into basements. There's reasons why this water can seep through walls. If something like this is going on at your house, you're probably going to need to get the experts out sooner rather than later. And they are the experts at USS. They believe in their quality of work. They believe in their reputation. And they believe in their integrity, okay, the work that they do. And they're going to give you a free estimate. They're locally owned. And they're licensed and insured. And if you're a homeowner, that should get your attention. If you need something, any of this stuff is going on, get USS out at your house by calling 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. You can always go to their website, usstn.com. They guarantee their best. Call USS. Elijah, could you turn on the prompter, please? Thank you. Don't forget tonight, Smashville Live. Preds player guests Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber. Be in Bellevue. Imagine that. Chase keeps getting all the action out in Bellevue. Boom Boz Craft Pizza and Tap House. It's located at 8016 Highway 100. Chase lives in the attic out there, so he's upstairs if you want to go say hi to him. Show starts at 7, so it'll be from 7 until 8, there'll be a limited number of autographs. That was not in the copy. I added that.
That's called ad-libbing.
Pictures, yeah. And it'll be available, so get there early. Tonight's Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Okay, back to regularly scheduled programming.
Off the cuff,
we're just going to wing it. We're going to wing it the rest of the way. Turn the prompter off.
I know that's hard for some people, but, you know, Hal Gill's going to be there with me.
We used to work with somebody that literally would write out scripts to do a radio show. Pages of scripts before a show.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
What were you saying about Skillsy?
He's going to be there tonight, too. It'll be fun. So we'll see if he has any skating advice. You know, if he listened to Tim Hasselbeck, if he's willing to give me skating lessons. I'm going to go with no. I'm going to say that that's probably not. He's probably going to say that's a hard pass, but we'll see.
The Blues, so I hope you get out there tonight. It should be a fun show.
And then come see me starting at 2:30 out at the Fifth Third Bank on West End.
What's that address? West End's big street. What is
that?
Yeah,
it is. 2814 West End 2814. Avenue. See? Look at that. In fact.
That was a save.
That was good. That was good right there. In fact, I actually have to go depart, you know, because I got a canoe down there.
You can't get to West End by 2:30?
Look, I trust myself, but it's the weather and the other drivers I don't trust.
Wow. Okay.
I want to be prepared.
The Blues are going to have a press conference about Jay Bouwmeester today at 3:30.
Yeah, I hope he's all right. That's just a scary thing.
So we'll find out what they're willing to pass along coming up at 3:30 today. Elliot Friedman's 31 Thoughts is out. We'll talk to him tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Also, David Poyle will join us tomorrow in the second hour of the program. We'll be at Pete and Terry's Tavern in preparation for the game tomorrow night against the Islanders. We had a really good conversation with Barry Trotz earlier in the program. If you missed it and you want to hear it, please go check it out. It's there for you to check out.
TheGameNashville.com. Audio Boom, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
The prompter's back on. It says, good luck, Chase. Drive safe.
Thank you very much. Stay classy, San Diego.
We haven't had a chance to talk about the new playoff format that's being tossed around in MLB. Trevor Bauer was a huge fan, or is a huge fan of it, and he let the commissioner know how big of a fan he is of it by actually tweeting to the commissioner and telling him that he's a joke. Clearly, that was tongue-in-cheek. He was not happy about it, and I'm sure there were a lot of people like Trevor Bauer. They just didn't express themselves like him, that they see this, and they're like, what in the world are you talking about?
All right, so for people that have not seen the details of this, the real quick version is they would expand the playoff field to 14. So three division winners and four wild cards in each league rather than the two wild cards. So they add two wild cards to each league, and you would go from there. The team with the best record would skip right into the division round. The other teams would play a best of three. But the two next best division winners would get to choose who they wanted to play amongst the wild card teams in this made-for-TV thing. All right. It's a lot, right? It's a radical change. You know me. I am more of a traditionalist. If they said tomorrow we're going to go back to four divisions and you got to win your division and it's going to be LCS and World Series, I'd be okay with that. However, I'm trying to evolve and I'm trying to understand that times change and you have to think with the times. Baseball needs a little shaking up. Attendance has been down some. They're looking to try to keep more teams involved in the pennant race. I think it would be wise not to overreact either way, right? It should not be written off the day it's thrown out there by anybody, even Trevor Bauer. And at the same time, I am a little surprised how somewhere in here, from a PR standpoint, some of the best writers in the game have given this, I don't know about a thumbs up, but given it a give this a chance kind of thing. You agree? Buster Olney, Jason Stark, Ken Rosenthal, Tom Verducci, they've all kind of said, hey, let's take a look at this. Here's why they're doing this. I hope they don't make a rash decision. Let's take some time. They wouldn't do this until, what, 2021? Because that's when the next renegotiation of the postseason contract can be done. I hope they take a long time to look at this before they just decide they're going to implement it or not implement it. It would be a big change. Like four rounds of playoffs now.
Are they talking about reducing the regular season?
No.
Not interested.
They are not. They would not reduce the regular season.
Longer
they're
baseball
saying,
season? Not
well,
interested.
What they say is, though, they would not add any days. You would get this done in the same amount of time. I think that's risky, though, if you had some weather issues, because you have now three-game series instead of a one-game playoff. There would be no one-game tiebreakers. They would go by a season series if something ended in a tie for the wild card.
Cut 17 games off the regular season, play about 145. That'll get more teams jumbled in the standings. Then I may be more interested. Adding games to what is already a ridiculously long season? No, not interested.
I wouldn't vote for it today. I don't like – who's going to pitch all these games?
Yeah, there's that too.
You don't have Bob Gibson and Sandy Koufax and guys who complete all the games. We know the game is a different game. So now you're adding more tiers to the playoffs, more innings that have got to be thrown. I don't like it.
All right, we'll pick it up on the other side and close out Wednesday's show next on 102.5 The Game. Ask me a question about what we were discussing.
All right, so let's forget about just for a moment the season. The season is, I mean, every sport I think deals with this. How long is too long? And sometimes is less more. And then there's the whole money situation. They would be doing this for money, right? Expanding the baseball playoffs. They want to keep more teams in contention. Therefore, the games mean more. More teams maybe would buy at the trading deadline. Attendance might be better. You get more postseason games to sell to sponsors and all that stuff. That's why they would be doing this. But philosophically, in the what's the best interest of the game? Last year, had they had this format, your team and my team would have made it
yep.
to the playoffs. And they would not have played in a one game to survive kind of game. Right? They'd have had a three-game series. Indians have good pitching. Mets have good pitching. For a three-game series, might have had a shot. But here's my question. If you're going to go to seven teams, some years you're going to have a team that has 83 or 84 wins get in. I just would ask the question, does an 83-win team who's the seventh best team in their league deserve to be in the playoffs? You know, baseball, for a long time, it was the regular season that was the determiner, right? A lot can happen. It would become more like hockey, I think, in baseball, where you would have some upsets every year. If you would have a team like the Mets who caught fire in the second half of the season that were a bad team for a while and all of a sudden caught fire, ended up with 86 wins. You have Jacob deGrom, Noah Syndergaard, Marcus Stroman, pick who you want in a three-game series. Who knows? But is that the best way you want to determine your champion? In the name of money, yeah, because you're going to have more games. But I just don't know if does that break too far with the baseball tradition?
Well, we've had NFL teams get in 8-8.
Right.
And 7-9.
And in baseball, even under the existing system, you have had teams. The Mets won 82 games mm-hmm. 1 year, 82 and 79, and came within one game of winning the whole thing. They lost in the seventh game of the World Series. The Cardinals won the whole thing in 06 with 83 wins. So it does happen. Those teams happen to win their divisions, though.
Hockey, if you get in with 92 or 93 points, are not that far over
right.
500, a 500 team.
But it decreases the chances that the best team is going to win the World Series. And if you're all right with that, then okay. But in baseball, we know how tricky it is. I think this is more where Trevor Bauer is coming from. A, the wear and tear on pitchers would be something you got to deal with. It's already hard for pitchers to get through the workload of the existing season. Now you're adding more games.
But they do get to expand their rosters, right?
Do they? I don't know. Is that part of the proposal?
Well, I think it needs to be, right?
Well, they're expanding the rosters by one in the regular season this year, which will help. But I think yep. they're maxing out on how many pitchers you can carry. Is it okay. 12 or something? It's already built in. I don't know that you would construct your roster a lot differently because you want your best pitchers pitching in the postseason. You don't want your 10th, 11th, 12th pitchers pitching in the postseason anyway.
It's hard for me to bang on baseball because usually I bang on baseball because they sit on their hands and they don't ever do anything.
Right. You have to commend them for trying.
At least they're trying something. I don't like it. I've made it abundantly clear. You don't need 162 games to figure out who you should have in playoffs.
Right. Well, your attitude a lot, and I got on you for this, down the stretch when they were losing out to the Twins, was the Indians were like, are they really going to win it anyway? Right? You were kind of like apathetic to a degree, and your team would have been in with this.
Yep.
But that's what you would be facing, right? That the fans would be excited about making the playoffs, like the Padres or somebody. But you would still be facing the task of having to win in the playoffs. Is that good? Maybe.
Three-game series, a little bit different. A little bit different. It's not one and in.
Washington was one and in
last year,
and they won the whole thing.
They were. It is closing time. That'll do it for us on this rainy Wednesday. You have a great rest of your day. Try, if it's possible, to stay dry. And we'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. from Bridgestone Arena. We do that next. Finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.